This is Telling the Truth with Stuart, Jill, and Pete Briscoe.
You like waiting? I hate waiting. In our instant society, it's very hard, isn't it? We don't like waiting. Maybe your heart, like his, is asking, as he does in the very opening words of this first chapter of Habakkuk, how long, O Lord? Have you ever said that? Who or what are you waiting for? Job, a friend, to be a friend? Someone to love you or for you to love back? Are you waiting for a break or a baby? A child to say they're sorry? Reconciliation, perhaps, or an important prayer to be answered? Maybe you're waiting for the bullying or betrayal to stop, or lying, hating, injustice, corruption, or hurt. Perhaps you're in a crisis of faith that needs to be resolved, and God seems far away, and you're saying, how long, O Lord, must I wait before all these things are realized? Well, if those are the sort of things that are in your heart, then listen up, because God has something from his word to say today.
Today, Jill shares encouraging truth to help you wait on God and renew your strength when it feels like your life is at a standstill. That's coming up next on Telling the Truth. But first, this is the last week you can get Stuart and Jill's Advent devotional book, Meet Him at the Manger, along with Jill's companion audio on USB as thanks for your support. So call today and get your copies when you give to help more people experience life in Jesus Christ. 1-800-889-5388. Again, that's 1-800-889-5388, or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. 1-800-889-5388. Again, that's 1-800-889-5388, or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, here's Jill Briscoe with her message, Finding God in the Delays of Life.
Going to be thinking about a man today who didn't like waiting. You like waiting? I hate waiting. In our instant society, it's very hard, isn't it? We don't like waiting. Maybe your heart, like his, is asking, as he does in the very opening words of this first chapter of Habakkuk, how long, O Lord? You ever said that? Who or what are you waiting for? Job, a friend, to be a friend? Someone to love you or for you to love back? Are you waiting for a break or a baby? A child to say they're sorry? Reconciliation, perhaps, or an important prayer to be answered? Maybe you're waiting for the bullying or betrayal to stop, or lying, hating, injustice, corruption, or hurt. Perhaps you're in a crisis of faith that needs to be resolved, and God seems far away, and you're saying, how long, O Lord, must I wait before all these things are realized? Well, if those are the sort of things that are in your heart, then listen up, because God has something from his word to say today. And if that's not you, wait a bit. It will be. Okay. All of us will be waiting for something before we see him face to face. Habakkuk learned to encounter God in the waiting, and that basically is the core of what I want to tell you. Habakkuk encountered God. That's what waiting periods are for. To know God in a better way, to know yourself in a way you've never known yourself, to understand other people. All of that and much more, God wants to see happen in our hearts and lives during the waiting. Habakkuk was able to say in chapter 3, as he sang, actually, it's a song at the end of this book, in chapter 3:17, though the fig tree doesn't bud, though there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the field produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stall, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll be joyful in God my Savior. For the sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. It says, for the director of music, and this is a man who was a Levite, a singing Levite, a prophet, a Levite who was in the temple choir, possibly a composer as well. And he sang a song in all the waiting that God called him to embrace and to endure. Well, Habakkuk engages in chapter 1. And we hear him, "How long, O Lord, must I call for help and you don't listen, cry out violence and you don't save? Why do you make me look on injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There's strife and conflict around. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. And the wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted." So we have this prayer time. Habakkuk is just one great big prayer time. That's what it is. I love when I was studying prayer and writing a book on it years ago, I just started to realize how much of the Bible is a prayer. Like the whole of the life of Elijah is a prayer. There's nobody else there but God and him. And it's what he says to God and God says to him. And that was hugely helpful for me. And I thought, this is the way I can learn to pray prayers that work. And here we have Habakkuk in a prayer. The whole thing is what happened in his prayer time with God. That sort of makes me excited too. What happens in your prayer time? What happens in mine? Do I really hear God? We hear a lot about hearing God. How do we hear God? I was asked that last night by a young woman. "I don't know what I'm listening for. I feel stupid. I'm speaking into the air. What am I supposed to hear?" Right? "How long, O Lord? I don't hear anything." Don't know what he was expecting, a human sort of voice or whatever, and we're not told how God answered him. We're just told that he did. And I was talking to this young lady, and I said, "I can't tell you how he will. I'm just telling you he will, probably in your thoughts." It's one way God speaks to us. And so he's having this talk with God. Actually, he's asking a lot of questions, and he doesn't feel that God has been giving him any answers until he really gets serious, perhaps. And so he asks him, "This world I live in is a mess. This society is falling apart. Israel is a mess. The Babylonians are coming," or so they say. "They've already destroyed Israel. Now, little Judah, us, are left here waiting for them to come and dispatch us as well. And we've been praying, 'Stop them, Lord.' You haven't stopped them. Not only that, but in our courts and the life of Israel itself, there is nothing right. And Lord, we in the temple and the priests and the prophets that are left and the remnant who really love you have been praying, 'Turn us around, renew as you did in the old days our vibrant faith.' You haven't heard that prayer either, because Israel's behaving just like unbelievers, Lord. And he is complaining, he's whining, he's grumbling to God." Now, Habakkuk, his name, incidentally, is embrace. And I love the theme of the whole book because he's called to embrace what he's called to endure. And God calls some of us to do that too. I think waiting is akin to suffering. We're to embrace the waiting. We're to encounter God. We're to say, "It was very, very hard, but I'm so glad that God made me wait because this is what I found out." And so here he is in a very sticky place, and he's asking God a lot of questions. We heard about the father that had a little boy, and the little boy kept asking him questions. "Daddy, how many people are in the world?" "I don't know, son." "Well, how many countries?" "I don't know, son." "Well, how many languages?" "I don't know, son." "Dad, I hope you don't mind me asking all these questions." "No, son, how are you going to learn if you don't ask questions?" That's what he felt like. You ever felt like that? Is it that I'm not hearing, whatever that means? Is it that I'm not seeing? When am I going to get some answers to my questions? Well, I think he was probably sorry he asked, because God answered. "Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told." Now, I have heard that quoted literally in a sermon as something positive. "Look up, Habakkuk. I'm coming. I'm going to answer your prayers, and I'm going to take these people, and I'm going to show my glory, and I'm going to restore Israel to vibrant spirituality." It's absolutely the opposite. "You've seen nothing yet, Habakkuk. You think this is bad? The Babylonians are coming. I'm not going to stop them. I'm just going to let this thing take its course. For Judah, first Israel, now Judah, kingdom was split. One part went away from God into captivity. The other part is just about to face the same fate. Babylonians are coming. And then for the rest of chapter 1, it describes, or God describes to Habakkuk, what sort of people they are. They will sweep through the whole earth. They're a law to themselves. They promote their own honor. Their horses are swifter than leopards, fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their cavalry gallops headlong. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like a vulture swooping to devour. They've come in violence. And the Lord answers Habakkuk. How long? You don't have to wait long for this. The Chaldeans, the Babylonians, are coming.
You're listening to Jill Briscoe on today's Telling the Truth. We hope today's message allows you to connect deeper with Christ and experience life in Him. Jill's coming right back with more from today's message. But before she does, what do you think Christmas will be like this year? After all we've been through these past months, many people are discouraged as we approach the holiday season. But that's why this Christmas is so important, because we need that thrill of hope Jesus alone provides. We want to help you rejoice in hope this holiday season by sending you Stuart and Jill's Advent devotional book, Meet Him at the Manger, as well as the companion audio on USB read by Jill herself. It's the perfect resource to encourage weary souls in these challenging times, and it's our way to thank you for your gift today to help keep telling the truth on the air. But this special offer ends this week, and we want to put these resources in your hands before the holidays. So please, call today to give and get your copy of Meet Him at the Manger, along with Jill's companion audio. 1-800-889-5388. Again, that's 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. For many, our smartphones have become our social connection, but we want to help you make a spiritual connection with the Telling the Truth mobile app. You can listen to daily programs, engage in Bible reading plans, journal, and share your thoughts and prayers on the community wall. Get the Telling the Truth app through your app store or log on to tellingthetruth.org/mobile app. Remember, you can also give to support Telling the Truth on our mobile app or via text when you send TTT to 313131. Text TTT to 313131. Okay, let's get back to Jill with today's message from her series, Finding God.
Habakkuk's second complaint starts at verse 12. I don't get it. Aren't you from everlasting? Aren't you the God that lasts? Aren't you the God that never changes, that's always the same, that comes to the help of his people? My God, the Holy One. We won't die. Oh, Lord, you've appointed them to punish us? He's got a whole lot more questions, and he doesn't get it. We never know what trust in God will do until we have to really trust in God. And waiting is the seminar, is the workshop of learning to trust, learning to lean on a God who will not fall over. And so Habakkuk says, okay, I've got to use my faith. Faith in who? And God leans out of heaven, hearing his prayer. Renew us in our day, in our time. Make your things known. In wrath, remember mercy. Another, it's better in the King James. It would be more familiar in the King James, that verse for you. But it is, renew us, bring us to life, refresh us. Renew us in our day, in our time. Make these things known. Through us, use us, live in us, work in us, speak through us, sing through us. And God gives him a vision of the Holy One. Glory covering the heavens, and he's standing in prayer on his high tower, internally watching what God is going to do. And he's given a look at God. And in verse 16, he says, I heard, my heart pounded, my lips quivered at the sound, decay crept into my bones, my legs trembled. Oh, he's seen the Babylonians. No, he's seen the Lord. And when we get more fearful of the God in the right sense, the holy fear of God in awe, then we can deal with the Chaldeans. We can even deal with the waiting. And he says, though the fig tree doesn't bud, though there are no, etc., yet will I rejoice. Chapter 2, verse 1 in the Amplified says, I stand upon my post of observation, station myself on the tower or fortress, and will watch to say what he will say within me, and what answer I will make as his mouthpiece. That's what the high tower is for. I will not leave my post, the place in which God has put me, but will wait in the faithful discharge of every commanded duty, the solving of my doubts, the removal of my difficulties. And the secret of life is to realize the unseen. And to this man, the world is full of the unseen, majestic presence of God. That's what I want when I go to my high tower, that my inner world is full of the unseen, majestic presence of God. And the very air he breathes throbs with the very pulse of God, and the silence may be broken any time by God's voice. So what do? We watch, we listen, and we obey as his mouthpiece. We build a watchtower in our lives. We build a watchtower. We build discipline to make that happen. And that builds faith. And that's how we're going to live through the waiting, the hard waiting that's akin to suffering times in the high countries. And so he embraces what he's called to endure, for his name was embracing. And he's able to say, though the fig tree, security, prosperity, medicine, though the fig tree doesn't bud, though the vine doesn't produce any grapes, wonderful picture of family, the wife shall be like a vine. Doesn't mean she's climbing the walls, on the walls of your house, proverb. And your children like olive plants around your table. I have this wonderful picture of little olive plants around the table. And the wife. What if, no wife, what if my wife leaves me or my husband? What if there are no children? Or if there were children and now they're not? God give you hinds feet? Yes. God will give you. What if the fields? No harvest. What if there's no sheep in the fold? No animals to do the donkey work, and I have to do the donkey work, literally. What if, yet will I? What if, yet will I? What if, yet I will rejoice in the Lord? I will get on with it. Will we? Listen to this in the Amplified, Habakkuk 3:19. The Lord is my strength, my personal bravery, and my invincible army. He makes my feet like hinds feet and will make me walk, not to stand still in terror, but to walk and make spiritual progress upon my high places of trouble, suffering, or responsibility, because the high places are the low places. The high places that he's talking about, the mountain, is like a deer picking his way on the dangerous, dangerous peaks. At any time, that little deer might fall, but God makes us sure-footed. The high places are the low places. But it's in the high places that are the hard places that we encounter God. You need hinds feet? I need hinds feet. I don't know anybody that doesn't know hinds feet. And it isn't what we do for God. It's God for whom we do it that matters. I love Jim Elliot, Elizabeth Elliot's husband's diary. If you haven't read all the books, the Elliot story, you should collect them and read them. The day before this man was martyred with five other missionaries, if you've not read that story, you should read it. You should read it with your family. Jim Elliot went out in the area of South America where he lived, knowing they were going to fly in a little plane and land on a little beach and meet a tribe who are cannibals. They have been dropping presents it took 2 years to try and make contact with this tribe. Now these five men who had spent 10 years getting ready for this moment to reach the Auca Indians were going to get in that little plane and go. And the women gathered for the last songs and praise and prayers. And then Jim Elliot left that little group And this is what he said. I walked out to the hill just now. It was exalting, delicious to stand in the shadow of a friendly tree with the wind tugging at your coattails and the heavens hailing your heart to gaze and glory and give yourself again to God. What more could a man ask? Oh, the fullness, pleasure, full excitement of knowing God on earth. I care not if I never raise my voice again for him, if only I may love him, please him. I want to know God like that. Do you want to know God like that? Well, if you don't want to know God like that, you won't. But if you do, you will. You see, and that's what waiting's for.
This is Telling the Truth, and you're listening to Jill Briscoe today as she explores how to find God when you seem to be in a holding pattern and waiting on him. She'll be back to answer some questions about today's message. But first, Scripture tells us to come to me, all you who are weary and hardened, and I will give you rest. It's an invitation to trust God in every circumstance, as Jesus himself is the source of hope for our weary world. We pray you've been encouraged by that hope through Telling the Truth. And today, we're asking for your support to help encourage even more people. Your generosity today will help make it possible to reach our weary world with the transformational truth of God's Word. And when that happens, people experience life in Jesus. That's why we believe Telling the Truth exists, for such a time as this, and why your gift today is so vital. And for just a few more days, we'll say thanks for your generosity by sending you Stuart and Jill's Advent devotional book, Meet Him at the Manger, along with a companion audio on USB. It's the perfect resource to encourage you and your family this Christmas, but this offer ends this week. So please call today to give and get your copy of Meet Him at the Manger, along with Jill's companion audio, 1-800-889-5388. Again, that's 1-800-889-5388, or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, here's Jill to answer a few questions for you about waiting on God. Jill, you know, sometimes we don't hear God because we don't want to. How do we go back to him ready to listen?
You can read your Bible, and you may as well not. Because if you read it with an attitude, if I find something here I don't like, I'm not going to do it, then you're not going to hear anything. So you may as well not read. We need to read, mark, learn, inwardly digest what we read. We need to think as we read. We need to pray as we read. Then we will hear God. If we don't want to hear what he says and we're not willing to obey him, save your time, do something else. It's not going to work. So don't bother reading your Bible unless you come to it believing it is his word to your heart. For today, it is ever relevant, it is ever living. And even though you might be frightened, you can say, I'm willing for you to make me willing, if that's necessary. And if you're not, say, well, I'm willing for you to make me. Just keep going back until you ask God to make on your willingness. And if you come to God's word with an open heart, frightened though you might be by what you read, and say, I'm scared out of my mind, Lord, but I'm willing to do what I feel you're telling me to do from this passage of Scripture, to say what you're telling me to say from this passage of Scripture, then you will find help, strength. You will find the power to do what God is asking you to do. He's calling you from everyday pieces of Scripture. There's not going to be a flash of light or a sudden illumination of the page that you're reading. Every single day you'll find something he wants you to say, do, pray, think about.
Jill, why does waiting for God bring us to an encounter with him?
Not waiting for God. God is within us. We go to prayer. We open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit, who we have already in our hearts. And we are willing internally to listen to him. So We don't need to wait for that to happen. We need to thank him that he is there already and just say, I'm ready to hear you. I'm ready to encounter you. And then read the scriptures first and then think about it. Don't trust any little voice that comes into your head. Make sure that you read scripture and you're thinking about that. That way you will encounter God.
Thanks, Jill. Before we go, remember, this is the last week of a special offer you won't want to miss. Call and give today to receive Stuart and Jill's encouraging Advent devotional book, Meet Him at the Manger, as well as the companion audio on USB read by Jill herself. 1-800-889-5388. Again, that's 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellmethetruth.org. Thanks for listening today. Be sure to come back again for more biblical encouragement and teaching from the Briscoes. Experience life next time on Telling the Truth.